Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day to be able to gather together. And I pray that our hearts would be softened and open to whatever you may have for us to experience today. In Jesus' name, amen. Is being in union with Christ the pinnacle of our faith walk? So I got married almost 3 years ago, this July. I will have been married to my wife, Sydney, for 3 years. And when we got married, we'd entered into union. Was that the place of arrival for our marriage? Is the whole goal of union just to keep the union? Is the goal of marriage just to hang on for dear life? For the sake of remaining in union? Or is there something more to marriage than that? Is entering into union the peak? Is making a decision to accept Christ and go to heaven really the peak? What about the abundant faith, the abundant life that Jesus promised us? Maybe you're here today and you feel like you've hit a wall in your faith. Maybe your faith is on autopilot. Maybe you're not even a Christian, but you can't shake the sense that there is more to life than work, career, and the pursuit of pleasure. Don't you actually hunger for something more? Doesn't your soul long for something more? That's because we were created to live our daily lives, not our Sunday lives, but our daily lives in an interactive and loving relationship with our Creator. And I want to help differentiate the difference between union, which is good, it's great. I want to differentiate the difference between union and loving union. In the widest sense of the term, union with Christ means that you have a relationship with Jesus, that you are a follower of Jesus. You are saved and you have asked at some point in your life for Jesus to come into your life. And many of us can say without a shadow of a doubt that we are in union with Christ. But what about loving union? Loving union is not simply reading your Bible, going to church, putting into practice spiritual disciplines, or having radical spiritual encounters with God. It's not about watching less Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Disney Plus, HBO Max, Peacock, Crunchyroll, Apple TV, or Paramount Plus. Oh my gosh, where did all these come from? It's not about watching less TV so you can spend more time with God. Loving union is to lovingly allow God to have full access to your life. These are the words Jesus spoke to the people of Laodicea in Revelation. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. In loving union, we keep that door wide open. We don't keep it all the way open when life gets hard and hope that he shows up, and then only keep it cracked when we want to do whatever we want and hope that God's not watching. We hope that God doesn't see. We allow not just the will of God. You know, the will of God has to do with our doing. The presence of God has to do with our being. But we allow the will and the presence of God to have access over every single area of our lives. That's what loving union is. The foundational text for this message and the scripture we should really dwell on is John 15, 4 and 5. I'm reading from the ESV translation. Jesus himself is talking to his disciples way back when. But the message he was giving to them is just as true for us today. Jesus himself says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So Jesus is basically saying that the only way to ensure you and your life is bearing fruit is by being in fellowship with Him, by being in loving union with Him. So I want to do something kind of different right now. I want to conduct an assessment with you all. So this is not a pass-fail test. Don't be nervous. You won't be graded. You won't be asked to share your answers. Don't be peeking at the person next to you's paper trying to see what they have. Keep your eyes down on your own paper. Be worried about yourself. This is an opportunity for us all to increase our own awareness of our loving union with God. This is a mirror for you to look into as a spiritual reflection. So you can go ahead and grab that little pencil and the paper numbered 1 through 10 they gave out as you came in. And if you lost it or threw it away or put your gum in it, just grab something to record your answers. And you can respond to the questions with a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Don't be doing that 2.5, 2.75. You're like, I'm in the middle. Just keep it simple. It's not that serious. And the explanations for each number will be on the screen. So let's get started. If you are ready, say ready.
Ready.
All right, awesome. Here's the first question. My highest priority is to take time each day to remain in loving union with Jesus. Let's write that down. 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. The second question is, I offer God full access to my interior life as I make decisions, interact with people, and create life plans. Third question. I wait to say yes or no to new opportunities until I have sufficient time to prayerfully and carefully discern God's will. Number four, I routinely step away from life's demands and make time to delight in God's gifts. That could be listening to music, enjoying nature, meditating on meaningful things with other people. Number five, I have a dedicated and regular practice of meditating on Scripture in order to commune with and be transformed by Jesus. No one's checking these, so you might as well be honest. Don't ask for my sheet, and I won't ask for yours. Number six, I regularly set aside time for experiences of solitude and silence that enable me to be still and undistracted in God's presence. Number seven, I am relaxed, comfortable with, and prayerful about my limits, as well as the limits of those around me. Limits could be your time, your gifts, your energy, your knowledge. Number eight, when I become aware that I am anxious or feeling emotionally triggered, I slow down to be with God and possibly spiritual companions. Number nine, I maintain intentional spiritual rhythms and practices that enable me to delight in God regardless of the expectations, the needs, or opportunities around me. Spiritual rhythms and practice, that could be Sabbath, that could be prayer, community, reading the Word. Here's the last one. I am routinely aware of and think about God during my waking hours at work, or at home, and while doing routine tasks such as errands, exercising, eating, being with friends, family, etc. All right, we made it. We're done with the assessment. Let's look at the scores. The goal was not to get 50. The goal was not to get any specific number. The goal is just to understand where we are at with certain things. And if you scored mostly ones and twos, you are likely doing too much in your own power. You may be handling you may be handling the majority of life responsibilities without any thought of Jesus. You may be overloaded and distracted. Prayer may feel like a duty and not a delight. If you scored mostly twos and threes, you're making some progress, but you're likely still a little bit out of balance. You're doing for God may be surpassing your being with God. You understand Christian concepts and you come to church and you're probably serving in some way even, but you may need to ask, what adjustments might God be inviting you to make in this season of your life? If you scored mostly fours and fives, you're in a good place of rest and centeredness in your relationship with God. Your doing for God is fed and sustained by your being with God. You may ask yourself, if you have mostly fours and fives, what is one, not five, what is one additional invitation God may be extending to you to help you deepen your relationship with Him? So if you did not score mostly fours and fives, which is also me, depending on when I take this assessment, don't beat yourself up or feel bad. If your unhealthy, self-critical alarm is being triggered right now, please do not let it set root. Hear me out until the end. You know, a couple days ago, I was talking to Pastor Dan, and he shared with me this great quote from Dallas Willard. And I was like, I really like that quote. So I looked up the Dallas Willard quote, and it actually was not as good as what Pastor Dan told me. So I want to share not the Dallas Willard quote, but the Pastor Dan quote from Dallas Willard. And that quote is, it's not about earning, it's about effort. And I say that it is not about doing and doing more and more for God, but it's about being more with God. It's about the desires of your heart. And I was looking through the Bible and I found out, surprise, surprise, that the best person who was in loving union with God was actually Jesus. And in Matthew 4, Jesus was fasting out in the wilderness and the devil came to tempt him. I believe that the devil knew a way to weaken and confuse godly people, and that was to get them to believe that doing is more important than being. And this is demonstrated in this passage. First, the devil came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus' response, "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So the devil's like, "Ah, okay, that didn't work." So the devil took Jesus to the highest place of a temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, and the angels will protect you." But Jesus did not fall for it. So I think the devil was kind of getting like, he's getting a little restless. Ah, it's not, these temptations aren't working. So next and finally, the devil took Jesus to the peak of a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms and said, "If you bow down to me, Jesus, I'll give you access to all this." And as we know, Jesus didn't fall for it, and the devil gave up and went away. But these three temptations, if we look at them, if you are the Son of God, do this. If you are the Son of God, do this. And then he gave up and just tried to bribe him, and that didn't work. I think that the devil was trying to make the foundation of Jesus' ministry about doing and not being. Do you ever feel tempted to find your identity based on your doing for God instead of your being with God? Watch out for this trick where we place more value on doing over being. So let's try something real quick so I can really drive this point at home. I want you guys to repeat after me. What I do matters. But who I am matters much more. What I do matters. But who I am matters much more. We know that God values are being before doing, because in the first 30-some years of Jesus' life, he hadn't even started his ministry yet. And I think it would be safe to say that Jesus didn't really even do anything incredible before he preached, before he chose his 12 disciples, before he healed anybody, before he turned water to wine, before he did much of anything. God says to Jesus, before his ministry even started, in Luke 3:22, God says to Jesus, "You are my son, whom I love with you. I am well pleased. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am very well pleased." Before Jesus even did anything, God said that and felt that way to Jesus. And I think that he feels the same way about us who are Christ followers. Before we do anything, I can picture God saying to all of us who are in relationship with him that just because you exist, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I love you, and I'm well pleased with you. Not, I love you, but I will be well pleased with you once your lifetime tithes accumulate to over $100,000. Not, I love you, but I'll love you more once you stop sinning. Just because you exist, he loves you. And he is pleased with you. Now, he may not be pleased with every single thing that y'all be doing, but the beautiful thing is that there's nothing that you can do more of or less of to make him love you any more or less. And our identity should be rooted in Luke 3:22, this truth. And Jesus showed us that the way we can be in loving union with God is not doing more for God, but being with God. And especially in our fast-paced culture, this can be such a difficult thing to do because we are rewarded with our doing. And a lot of times, even in your workplaces and different aspects of your life, you are penalized for just existing. If you're not doing something, you're made to feel guilty. So I get it. I feel the same way. But to be in loving union with God, it's not about doing more. It's about being with him more. And being with God requires us, and this is hard for me, because if you look at my own life, I'm not good at this, and I struggle with it on the daily. But to be in loving union with God, it requires us to slow down. And a question that we need to wrestle with is, in what way does my current pace of life, my roles and my commitments, enhance or diminish my ability to allow God's will and presence to have full access over my life? Now, I know I cheated. That's a single question, but it's like a whole paragraph. So let me read that again. In what way does my current pace of life, my roles, my commitments, enhance or diminish my ability to allow God's will and presence to have full access to my life? You may say, I already know what's coming. You may be saying or thinking, Cody, I can't slow down. I have a job that's really demanding. Cody, I have 2 jobs, 3 jobs. I have kids. Cody, you don't have kids. You don't know what it's like. I don't. Cody, I have 3 kids. I have 10 kids. I have 4 jobs. I get it. Lives are crazy. And you feel like you can't slow down. You have executive responsibilities and work commitments. You may say, Cody, I run my own company. I can't slow down. Cody, I'm a doctor and people's lives are literally in my hands. Cody, I have no time to slow down. And maybe the majority of the things that you are doing are for God. And that's got to count for something, right? Yeah, it does. And all those things can be very true. And trust me, I have my own list of, oh, I hear what you're saying, but I have this, I have that, I have that. I can't slow down. But the only way that we can experience loving union with Christ is by slowing down to allow him to have full access. Because you see, Jesus, not when he was up in heaven, but when Jesus came down as a man, He dealt with more pressure than we will. He dealt with probably more difficult people than we will, more scrutiny and opposition than we will, more responsibility than we will. Yet, he still routinely stepped away from his endless demands to spend significant time with the Father. Jesus even tells his disciples in Luke 10:22, "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In other words, he wants them to remember that their joy comes from their relationship with him, not their achievements for him. And based upon the scripture that I've shared, and based upon whatever kind of authority or influence I have over this room, I want to impart three things to you. And these are some things that can help you move from union, where I probably spent most of my life without even realizing it, into a more loving union with God. They may not be practical applications, but they definitely have some practical implications. So here's the first one. For us to move from union to loving union, we need to slow down. Slowing down creates time, space, and energy for you to be able to connect and abide in God. Some of you guys need to hear this, because I needed to hear this. You have permission to slow down. Maybe you're an achievement addict like me. Maybe you're a checklist addict like me. If you have ever done a task and then that was not on your checklist and then went back and wrote it on your checklist just so you can check it off, raise your hand if you've done that. You are a checklist addict. This is why you're here. This is our meeting. I am the same. But you need to know you have permission to slow down. And I know that you may be grinding to make ends meet. You're supporting your family. Or maybe your parents had a crazy work ethic, and that's what they imparted into you, and that's an honorable and beautiful thing. But you have permission to slow down. And in Genesis 2, 1 through 4, God is creating the earth. The creator of everything, God. On the seventh day, he stopped to delight in what had happened, what he had done. He stopped. He rested. God's endurance is unlimited. He didn't need to stop and rest. Who do I think I am? Cody, one person, a blip on the timeline of human existence. What I do matters, but in the grand scheme of everything, kinda. Who am I to think, and maybe who are you to think, but I'll just stick with, who am I to think that what I am doing is so important that I don't have time to slow down? God, the creator of everything, he slowed down. Do I think what I'm doing is more important than what God's doing? Absolutely not. So how do I think that I don't have enough time to slow down? Here's another thought about slowing down. Slow down or get sat down. If you go too hard for too long, something will give at some point. And if you don't slow down with what's in your control, you're going to get sat down and be out of control. Maybe you're working a job and you just keep pushing the envelope. You're getting overtime hours. And you just need a little bit more money. I just need to work a little more to buy your kids Christmas gifts. You just need to work a little more to pay this debt off. But you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Maybe the quality of work that you're doing is decreasing because you're not sleeping, you're not taking care of yourself. You just keep going, and maybe you lose that job. Slow down or get sat down. If your doing for God exceeds your abiding in God, then something is bound to happen where you get physically, emotionally, and or spiritually laid on your back. Let me tell you a story real quick about 9 months ago, I was working at a ridiculous pace. And you got to keep in mind, when I say that, everything is relative. You may be doing double what I'm doing, and you're actually healthy. You're okay. So it's not about comparing the hours, because how we experience life is so different from person to person. So it's not about actual time necessarily. But I was working at a ridiculous pace. I was supporting situations where there was a relational strain that was so taxing. And 9 months ago, I realized that the Cody 12 months ago planned way too much for ministry. June Cody wasn't looking out for November Cody. But at that point, I was kind of locked into the things that I had, and I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't sleeping that much because I was just stressed and my quality of sleep was decreasing. And I wasn't cooking as many home-cooked meals, healthy meals, and so I was eating out more. And, you know, that affected the budget. There's all these ripple effects. I was just pushing. I was exhausted. You know, for me, my neck starts to lock up. And then I have to go back and see my chiropractor and work with her for 27 sessions, which is what the insurance has authorized, to try to get my body feeling good again. I feel it in my physical body. And I remember there was an event over there in the student lounge. And it was a Friday, and we were anticipating 50-some students to come. And I'm blowing up these balloons for this game. I got to blow up like 120 balloons. And I'm thinking, who cares about balloons? Why am I doing this? I was dizzy. The lights started getting bright, and I was like, something up with my glasses? What's happening? And I was feeling nauseous. I'm like, man, I probably had food poisoning. My body was shutting down. My stomach was jacked up. Everything was coming to a head. All the stress, the anxiety that I had been experiencing was starting to manifest itself through physical symptoms. And my wife was here helping me. She's actually the one who blew up the balloons. And I was literally laid out on the student lounge couch right over there in that room thinking I may have to go to the hospital because my body's shutting down. And there's this weird part of my anxiety that's telling me that I may die. And Sydney, if I'm being honest, can I get an amen? Thank you. So two is also about double witness, you know, two people coming together to prove something to be accurate. So thanks for that. And somehow I got through the event by the grace of God, and I was laid out. I was like taking COVID tests. What is this? You know, all of a sudden you're like, I'm hot. Are you hot? Do I have a fever? What's happening? And my heart rate just kept shooting up. And I don't know if you've ever dealt with like anxiety and your heart rate increasing, but I have an Apple Watch, and my Apple Watch tells me what my heart rate is. Do you guys ever look at that on whatever wearable device? Raise your hand if you've ever kind of monitored your heart rate a little bit for whatever reason. Well, for me, I kept looking at my heart rate, and I was sitting there on that couch. My heart rate was at like 130. It wasn't even doing anything. For me, my resting heart rate's like 63 beats per minute. 130 is like I'm really hitting the weights. And I was at 130. And I don't know if you've ever looked at your heart rate because you felt anxious. But sometimes when you look at your heart rate when you feel anxious, you see it's 130. And then all of a sudden, it's at 135. Oh my gosh, it's at 135. Now it's at 140. You're like feeding into your own anxious moment. And what I know now that I didn't have the understanding, self-awareness, or the words is that in the student lounge on that couch, I was having an anxiety or a panic attack. And my body, while God allowed me to get through that event, my body shut down. And I was useless. I might as well have been invisible for the next 5 days. I couldn't do anything. I was in bed. My neck was locked up. I had no energy because I was pushing for too hard and for too long. So you can slow down, or like me, on that couch in the student lounge, you can get sat down. Now, I know some of you guys, if you ever end up in the student lounge, you're going to be like, is this the couch? Is this the one? Slow down or get sat down. Here's my last kind of thought about slowing down. Don't quickly go slow. I know that sounds weird, right? But don't quickly go slow. How does this sound if we want to slow down, but we want to do it as fast as possible? That doesn't make any sense. Move slowly when trying to slow down. Don't try to implement 10 new slowing down for a more loving union strategies overnight. Be patient. Be gracious with yourself. So to move from a union with God to a more loving union with God, we got to slow down. Here's the second thing we can do. Strive for being overdoing. I think of the words true fruit. The way that we can develop our fruit is by being with God, not necessarily doing more for God. When we do for God, that's an expression of the fruit that's in us. But the answer isn't to just do more on the outside. The answer is that we got to do more inside. So it's kind of a funny phrase, true fruit, but I want y'all to say it. Say true fruit. Trying to see how many of y'all messed up. When I was preparing for this, I would say true fruit. I couldn't get the words out, but you guys said it way better than I do. True fruit. It comes from being in fellowship with God, not just doing for God. And we can look at John 15:5 again, where Jesus is saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Slow down for a more loving union. Strive for being overdoing for a more loving union. And the last and third point is, don't settle. Don't settle for union for an autopilot faith walk. Entering into union with Christ is incredible. It's beautiful. Entering into marriage is beautiful. But that's kind of just the beginning. Don't settle just for that. Union is good, but there's so much more to explore in our faith. There's so much more goodness for us to experience and receive from God. Seek to be in the presence of Jesus with everything you do. You know, a huge influence in my own journey, my own personal life, towards a loving union and slowing down is this author named Pete Scazzaro. And he wrote a whole bunch of books, and he has heavily influenced this message. And even that assessment was an adaptation of something that he wrote. And I'd encourage you to pick up one of his books to support your journey. He authored, maybe you've heard of it, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. The one I'm reading right now is Emotionally Healthy Leader. And there's a whole line of emotionally healthy whatever books that he has. And I purchased a couple of them. I have them with me today. So if any of this is connecting with you in some strong way, please come up to me after the message. I'll be around. And I would love to gift you one of these books to support you. Please don't make me take them home with me. Slow down. Strive for being overdoing. Don't settle. You know, this isn't in the notes, so I hope it can come out okay. But there's, you know, this cycle has probably happened since the beginning of time. But it seems like with people in my age gap, my age range, like 20 to, I'm 27, but like 20 to 40-somes, there seems to be like this mass exodus of people deconstructing their faith, which is, deconstruction is fine. Usually, you know, you pull something apart so then you can put it back together. But some people deconstruct and then they just leave the faith. And I think so much about why people do this. I have so many friends that I could list off who have been there, who are there right now. And I think that sometimes us as humans can respond to people in such a poor way that doesn't even represent God. And ultimately, that's why people grow apart from God. And it's just my hope that we can change the way that we think about our spiritual life, our relationship with Jesus. And not be thinking about all the things that we need to be doing to be a good Christian so we're not a bad Christian. Or this is what you do when you walk with the Lord. And if you're doing these things, then don't let anybody find out because you should be ashamed because that's not what God has for you. And while, yes, God has created these parameters and these, we can even say rules, yeah, for sure. But he's doing them and he's given those to us to not facilitate one another. He's doing them because if we can lean into what his best plan for us is, then really it's just going to benefit our own lives. But I think sometimes we are worried about what other people are doing, and we think it's our job to manage other people's walk with the Lord. And if we could just all be more with Christ, I think that could help a lot. So we can slow down, strive for being over doing, and don't settle for union, but move towards a more loving union. And I want to wrap up this sermon with a quote from author John Townsend. And he says, "The opposite of a bad self is not a good self. The opposite of a bad self is a loved self." Let me read that again. The opposite of a bad self is not a good self. Sometimes we're like, all right, how do I, you know, I'm bad, so let me do the opposite of that, now I'm good. That may work like a little bit, but that's not really what it's about. The opposite of a bad self is a loved self, because the more that we love ourselves and the more that we love Jesus, the more our identity can be rooted in being with Christ instead of doing for Christ, the more our identity is rooted in abiding in Christ, the more we can move from union to loving union with him. And the goodness of who we are and how we were specifically and uniquely created will come out on its own, allowing us to be the best versions of ourselves. And this whole Jesus following thing is not about performance. It's about being in the presence of God and allowing him, asking him to transform your soul. God's got your number in more ways than we could ever realize during this sermon series. But it's my hope that as we looked at number two and how that represents union, that we all may move towards a more emotionally healthy, loving union. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the word that you gave me. And I just pray that we are able to receive what you ultimately have for us, not just what Cody wanted for this message, but what you would have for every specific person that's here today. Thank you for being a God who's more interested in just being with us, having a relationship with us, than you are about our accolades or our achievements or what we can do in our own strength. I pray that we would move from a rigid, fearful, shameful way of relating to you to a more free and loving connection, a more loving union with you. And I pray that you would give us the strength to figure out how to slow down. And that when the fear of slowing down turns on in our heads, because sometimes we're afraid of what's going to come out when we slow down, we're going to have to face what we're avoiding. I pray that you would meet us right where we are in those times. Thank you so much for being the loving God that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bridgeway Community Church Sunday Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Bridgeway, visit our website at bridgeway.cc. To watch all of our sermons, visit our YouTube channel and make sure you subscribe while you're there. If you'd like to download sermon notes, just click the link in the description. If you'd like to take part in our 30th anniversary challenge, go to bridgeway.cc/30. That's bridgeway.cc/THIRTY. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week.